Hearty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young, and thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Stand up, Nations Cup fans. Ghana is going against Algeria at this hour in a crucial Group C match at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Mongomo, Equatorial Guinea. Right now, we're in the 75th minute. No score between the Black Stars of Ghana and the Desert Foxes of Algeria. We hope to get that final result to you before this edition of the Sunny Side of Sports comes to a close. Ghana and Algeria were my two top pre-tournament picks to lift the trophy on February 8th in the port city of Bata. In Friday's second match in Mongomo, South Africa will face Senegal. Algeria and Senegal began the day at the top of the Group C standings with 3 points each, with the Algerians slightly ahead on a +1 goal difference. Ghana and South Africa have no points. So, if Algeria and Senegal win on Friday, they book their places in the quarterfinals, and this so-called group of death will be done and dusted, as our African football guru David Legg puts it. Quick update now from Mongomo. No score between Ghana and Algeria. We're in the 76th minute of a very tense encounter in Nations Cup results Thursday. Tunisia beat Zambia 2-1, while Cape Verde and the Democratic Republic of Congo played to a scoreless draw. Both matches were played in Ebbebiyin. Tunisia now tops Group B with 4 points from two matches, followed by Cape Verde and the DRC with two each, and Zambia with one. Looking ahead to Saturday, the Nations Cup action will shift to the capital, Malabo. Ivory Coast is matched against Mali, and then Cameroon will go against Guinea. I asked David Legg to gaze into his crystal soccer ball and forecast his winners.
Sorry, Sonny, you're not getting any predictions here. It's just too hard to call. We all assumed that Cameroon and Ivory Coast would win their opening matches and stake claims for places in the last eight. But what we saw from Guinea and Mali was great spirit. It was true grit, and that counts for so much in any football game. The Guineans clearly said to the Ivorians, you might be ranked higher than us. You might have a lot of stars, particularly people like Yaya Toure and Wilfred Bonny. But we've come here to fight, and we're heroic players because we've already come through great difficulties because of the Ebola in our country. We had to play all our home qualifiers far away in Casablanca in Morocco, and we still qualified for the finals. And that spirit came through, Sonny. You could really see it against the Ivorians. I think the Ivorians were a little bit rattled. The Ivorians, when the going gets tough sometimes, not the greatest of fighters. But to their credit, after Jovino was sent off and they were trailing by one goal, they did come back for a Doumbia equalizer. But nevertheless, I think Guinea a little bit unlucky not to take maximum points. And then you had Mali, a Mali side that last week were trashed 3-0 in a warm-up game by South Africa. But they proved once again that you must never take friendly results into account ahead of a tournament. They were a much improved side, showed great spirit. Although Cameroon did get on top in the second half, it was the Malians who actually took the lead before Oyongo rescued the indomitable Lions with a late goal. Now, Sonny, we've got Ivory Coast against Mali, as you said, and Cameroon against Guinea. These games are going to be hard to call. And if they're not drawn, I think they'll probably be decided by a single goal either way. How's that for sitting on the fence?
David, Equatorial Guinea's president, Obiang, how important has he been to the good crowds I've been seeing in the stadiums?
Yes, Sonny, he's really waved his magic wand. Apparently, Teodoro Obiang is quite a keen football fan. You know, you always see the presidents at the opening matches. They shake hands with everybody. They make a speech. But he was also there in Edebiyin for the second day of action. And what he's done, Sonny, is he has personally bought 40,000 tickets to be distributed to fans. And he was very fair as well. He gave 10,000 to each of the venues. That's Bata, Malabo, Mongomo, and Edebiyin. So everybody got a fair share of those tickets. But so far, Sonny, the prophets of doom, I'm afraid, are losing this match about 10-0. The Equatorial Guineans have really taken to this tournament, and there's been this wonderful vibe. You can feel the atmosphere. You can feel the color. It's really encouraging. First of all, Sonny, we've had virtually full houses in Bata and Malabo, and capacity crowds in Mongomo and Edebiyin. And I think here again, there is a lesson for future Africa Cup of Nations tournaments. Too often in the past, these big, unwieldy stadiums have been built, 40, 50, 60,000 seaters. We don't need that in Africa, Sonny. We need smaller stadiums that are full for all the matches in the Cup of Nations. I mean, Edebiyin only holds about 5,000. Yet, there was this fantastic atmosphere because every seat was taken. People were close together. They were enjoying themselves. And the same in Mongomo. The capacity there is about 15,000. And again, every seat was taken. So far, Sonny, it's looking really good, this Nations Cup, much better than many people expected. We're seeing extremely competitive football. So, yeah, Sonny, it's looking good at this stage, the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg. Quick update now from Mongomo. We're in the 81st minute. No score between Ghana and Algeria. Ghana's Asamoah John, back wearing the captain's armband for the Black Stars of Ghana. He just had a free kick in the 80th minute, but it sailed high over the post. John missed Ghana's first match because of what's being described as a mild bout of malaria, but he's been playing against Algeria this evening in Mongomo. And again, we hope to have that final result for you when it comes in. Right now, it's Ghana 0, Algeria 0 in Mongomo, Equatorial Guinea.
I'm Shegun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports, from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on!
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. I encourage our VOA football fans to check out our special Equatorial Guinea 2015 Nations Cup blog. The address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, take a look at our exciting Equatorial Guinea 2015 Nations Cup blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. You'll see photos, videos, and stories about the African Championship Tournament. Turning to African athletics, it was a big day for Ethiopia on Friday at the Standard Chartered Dubai Marathon in the Middle East. Ethiopian athletes swept the men's and women's titles. And taking a look at the results, the top 10 runners in the men's race were all from Ethiopia. Lemmy Berhanu and Asalefich Mergia were the men's and women's winners. Lemmy had a winning time of 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 28 seconds, while Asalefich clocked 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 2 seconds. The two Ethiopian winners each pocketed first-place prizes of $200,000. Wow, not a bad payday at all. Meanwhile, Dubai proved to be a tough marathon experience for Kenenisa Bekele, Ethiopia's world record holder at 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. Kenenisa won his debut at the marathon distance last year in Paris with a time of 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 4 seconds. But Dubai on Friday proved to be a big disappointment. Kenenisa dropped out of the race just beyond the 30-kilometer mark with what his coach, Renato Canova, described as hamstring problems in both legs. Coach Canova says Kenenisa also has a problem with his right Achilles tendon, and that problem will have to be solved if there is to be any future success at the marathon distance. Meanwhile, one Ethiopian athlete who's had a lot of success in the marathon, Haile Gebrselassie, did not run in Dubai, but he was part of the international television commentary team for the race.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Turning to tennis on the Voice of America, Swiss star Roger Federer was the big upset victim Friday at the Australian Open in Melbourne, the year's first Grand Slam event. Federer, a four-time champion in Melbourne, fell in four sets to Italy's Andreas Seppi in a third-round match. Now, that Seppi was the man who knocked out Federer is a surprise. In their 10 previous matches, the Italian had never won and, in fact, had claimed only one set. Federer lost the fourth set to Seppi in a tiebreaker, and he made some crucial mistakes in that tiebreaker. Roger led 3-1, only to double fault at 3-2. And then he was leading at 5-4, and Federer then made a costly backhand error. With Roger Federer now packing his bags down under, that should make a title run easier for Spain's Rafael Nadal and Britain's Andy Murray, who both posted easy victories on Friday. Nadal ousted Israel's Dudi Sela in straight sets, while Murray also won in straight sets, eliminating Portugal's João Sousa. In women's action at the Australian Open, second-seeded Maria Sharapova of Russia swept aside Zarina Diaz from Kazakhstan. The score was 6-1 and 6-1. Other winners in the women's draw down under included third-seeded Simona Halep from Romania, and seventh-seeded Eugenie Bouchard from Canada. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for my engineer this evening, Sule Terawali, working the boards with gusto and aplomb. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it!
Go, Scott.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. Nations Cup update now from Mongomo, Equatorial Guinea. 3 minutes of added time now. No score between Ghana and Algeria. We're in the 91st minute. 3 minutes of extra time just added. It looks like we could be headed for a scoreless draw in Mongomo. We'll have that final result for you right here on the Voice of America. And speaking of the VOA, the Voice of America's Tef Tef and Downtown Brown are just ahead with our English Premier League football question of the week.
The Voice of America.
VOA. Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown.
And this is Tef Tef.
So this week is transfer month. So Tef and I are going to go through your predictions and see if they're a valid prediction or
if it's too fantasy-like.
So to start off, we have Joshua Zent from Nigeria who said Marco Reus to Chelsea. Tef, what do you think about that?
My first criteria for any transfer is if they can afford it under the FFP rules, which is, you know, financial fair play rules. And Chelsea are in their within their means to do that. You know, right now, the only reason why I don't know if I can see that happening is because Chelsea's also interested in Cuadrado from Fiorentina, I believe. And so I don't know which one of those is more realistic. And, you know, seeing as how Dortmund is also in trouble, they'd want to keep Reus on their team for this season.
And for Chelsea's midfield, they have Eden Hazard, Oscar, William.
Yeah, way too overpacked.
Yeah, so it's too many. So next we have Abu Sayan from Sierra Leone who picked William Carvalho, who's a center defensive midfielder for Sporting, a Portugal club, and you want to make him to play for Arsenal. I can't see that one that much. Only one reason why is because Arsenal has an amazing midfield. So putting him in as a defensive midfield, you're getting rid of Mertesacker, you're getting rid of Ozil, you're getting rid of Markel Arteta. So I want to say that's a good prediction, but
I mean I will disagree with that only because you know Arteta's injured currently, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and Arsenal do need. I mean, I've seen the size of Carvalho and he's huge, man. This guy, he's physically the type of player that Arsenal might need in the back. Arsenal have, like, you know, skilled players, but I think they're usually they're very small, and that's their biggest challenge against teams like City and Chelsea. So if I think Carvalho, if it happens, I just think that United, Manchester United has a better chance of signing him. But if it does happen, I think it's a good signing.
Colin Soba said he wants Pogba also to play for Arsenal. That's exactly like the kind of like the same person, but a little bit more talented, more skilled. It's going to be hard to fit him in the system.
No, yeah. It's Pogba, man.
Yeah.
He's amazing. As any Manchester United fan would tell you, Pogba's probably one of their biggest losses, you know, under Ferguson. I think any team would be happy to have him. Especially the way he's growing. He's still, you know, under 25. He's ridiculously good. Would he help the Arsenal midfield? I mean, they have Ozil and Sanchez playing up front. He would help them, but I think they'd have to bench one of their players that, you know, like Wilshere or Ramsey. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Imagine benching Jack Wilshere, who is on the England team.
I don't think we understand how good Pogba is going to become. So
yeah, I mean, you never know, he could be a bust.
If Manchester United could have him.
Manchester United. Why is he Manchester United? Why can't it be?
Because he's from our youth team.
Man,
you know,
City.
We lost out by letting him go, and it was a mistake by Ferguson. I think Ferguson will tell you that. But Pogba is a great player. If Arsenal gets him, which I really, really doubt, I think he'll be one of the best signings they'll ever get.
Elijah Oyawale from Nigeria, who didn't even pick a player, he just said he wants a good center back for Man U. You know,
yes.
That's very true. I mean, right now they got Tyler Blackett in right now.
I mean, it's just basically very inexperienced players. And they're holding it down, but, you know, somebody like Carvalho, actually, who Arsenal want to sign, would be a great addition. Hummels, of course, if they can get him. Like you said, I would completely agree with this guy. Any you know, senior defender.
I mean, I heard through the grapevine, Vidic might come back.
I would actually want him to come back, but at this point, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's Inter Milan are just, they did want to keep him for a season. He was having a bad start, but I think now he's slowly adjusting. He even scored his first goal last week.
Just imagine if you did have him right now.
We need it. I mean, either Ever or Vidic would do. One of them. They have, you know, they have the seniority of, you know, leading a team. That's the problem right now. We have Smalling, McNair, and Blackett, who are all, you know, at this point, babies.
Yeah. So, your own prediction. Who would you want to see in the transfer window on a certain team?
I have to start with my own team. I'd want to see Pogba back at some point. I think it's going to be earliest summer, only because, you know, the Champions League, no player wants to leave the Champions League to come play for a team that's not in it. For Arsenal, I would wish somebody big, I mean physically, and I'm not even, I think any position would do. Sanchez is, you know, the way his work rate is amazing, but they need somebody like Yaya Toure, or somebody who's, you know, physically big, who can replace Vieira, which they haven't been able to replace since he left.
For me, I mean, it's the most controversial one so far. Lionel Messi to Manchester City.
Oh my God, that's not gonna happen.
That's gonna happen.
They don't have the income for him, but if that happens, then I think Man U fans will be happy to know that Cristiano will probably be back too, because they're both dreams.
And you can check us out on facebook.com/VOASunny. For more stories, transfers, injuries.
And by the way, we have a blog going on Sonny's blog right now about the African Cup. So if you're following the African Cup, just come check out some of our blog posts.
I'm VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef Tef.
Have a good day.
Nations Cup update, final from Mongomo, Equatorial Guinea. The Black Stars of Ghana score a dramatic 1-0 victory over the Desert Foxes of Algeria. The hero for the Black Stars, their captain, Asamoah John, he delivers for the Black Stars in the 93rd minute. Wakaso Mubarak sets up John in the closing seconds of the match, which appeared to be headed for a draw. But Asamoah John heroically puts the ball into the back of the net. Ghana beats Algeria 1-0. It now means that Group C is now level at the top. Ghana has 3 points. Algeria has 3 points. I talked about heroism. Asamoah John missed the first Nations Cup match for the Black Stars because of what's being described as a mild bout of malaria. He comes back on the pitch in Mongomo and delivers the game winner for the Black Stars of Ghana. Once again, the final from Mongomo. Ghana 1, Algeria 0. The second match in Mongomo on Friday will feature South Africa against Senegal. Now, if Senegal wins that match, Senegal will be through to the quarterfinals. So South Africa facing a very tough test this evening in Mongomo. But once again, the final in the first match of the day in Mongomo, Ghana 1, Algeria 0. The hero, Asamoah John, once again wearing the captain's armband for the Black Stars. Now, one of the songs associated with this 30th Africa Cup of Nations is by a singer named Mr. Chi-Chi. Mr. Chi-Chi. And it's titled Football is Connecting Us. I kind of like it. It's got an upbeat tempo to it. So let's give it a listen to close out the show and celebrate that victory by the Black Stars. Here's Mr. Chi-Chi with Football is Connecting Us. With his Nations Cup song, Football is Connecting Us.
The Voice of America, VOA.
And that wraps up another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Sule Terawali for his engineering expertise this evening. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.